gentlemen, we have called you together to inform you that we are going to overthrow the United States government.
You still think that jet fuel brought down the World Trade Center? Does anybody else see a problem here? If the government has nothing to hide, why are they so afraid to answer a few questions? This story does not add up.
But I wanted to play a clip two from Russell Brand, who I've known for 15 years. He's been on the show many times. I've met with him before here in Austin. For some reason, I'm out of contact with him for 5 years. Can't get on his show. Can't get him on, even though he said nice things about me on Joe Rogan. But he did a great analysis of the new so-called UK prime minister and the mega digital bank cashless society they're pushing. Here's a clip of Russell Brand.
Central bank digital currencies, CBDCs. Central bank digital currencies could be a digital version of money, a bit like a digital banknote.
I like it, because they've got a broad concept. What if this person's an idiot? Which we think that they are. It's like a digital penny for your digital money box, for your digital shithole that you live in. You will owe nothing. You will be happy.
That could be used alongside physical notes and coins.
For now, till we phase them out, if you start any little tracker protests, oh, where's my money gone? The digital piggy bank is broken, I'm afraid. Start being a bit more cooperative.
Unlike most of the digital money people use daily today, it would be issued directly by a central bank, like the Bank of England in the UK.
That's good, a central bank. Nothing wrong with centralised authority, centralised power, globalist decrees coming down from on high, avoiding democracy. That's exactly what we want. Keep talking.
And governments and central banks across the world are working together.
Oh, really? They're working together? Well, that's just such great news. The IMF, the World Bank. Why don't we involve the WEF and the WHO? What we need are unelected global bodies that have been able to co-opt political power, respond to financial power, and ignore and oppress ordinary people. Whether it's the recent medical emergency or the cost of living crisis, we're seeing the benefits all around us. I can't wait for your next policy. You're going to take our money now. This is great.
Looking into what having a digital currency might mean in practice.
I think I know what it means in practice. More power for you, no power for us.
This includes issues that people care about, such as ensuring users' money would be safe and secure, that it could work with other ways to pay, would be energy efficient.
Oh, it's got to be energy efficient. I was about to say, is it energy efficient? Is it energy efficient? I've got to make sure. Oh, a few other questions. You wouldn't use this ever, would you, to implement control or to advance social credit type systems or to shut down the bank accounts of people you disagree with or to surveil people and have a surveillance network that you've developed in conjunction with big tech and now a financial arm that you're developing so that you can lockstep together and gridlock us in a digital prison of surveillance tyranny? That's just off the top of my...
And of course, the new puppet prime minister says IMF World Bank, but no. Russell Brand says, oh, are we going to have the WEF involved? No, WEF and Bill Gates have given the money to it to create the new digital world ID. It's not coming. It's here. And so let's go ahead and play a few minutes of that 18-minute report. You can find it on Rumble on Dr. Peter McCullough's account. You can watch the whole thing. But here's a few minutes of what she said about this so-called amnesty.
No amnesty. That's the focus of tonight's angle. All right, how convenient. Now that we see just how wrong the COVID experts were on everything from school shutdowns to vax mandates, those same experts are telling us that it's just time to move on.
Move on! Nothing to see here! Please disperse! Nothing to see here! Please!
Writing in The Atlantic, Brown University economist Emily Oster argues that we need to let bygones be bygones on the COVID debate and not relitigate the past. We have to put these fights aside and declare a pandemic amnesty, forgiving the hard calls that people had no choice but to make with imperfect knowledge. L.A. County closed its beaches in the summer of 2020. Now, ex post facto, this makes no sense, but we need to learn from our mistakes and then let them go. Nice try, but no way. First off, there is little sign that those responsible for the disastrous decisions actually learned much, if anything, at all. Where were the mea culpas from the shutdown fanatics like Anthony Fauci and Deborah Birx? First, they gave horrendous advice to Donald Trump that led to his decision to shut down the entire country. This never should have happened. It did enormous damage to our children, our economy, our constitutional rights, and the American psyche that we're still seeing play out today. Almost everything they advocated, other than maybe washing your hands and covering your face when you sneeze, was wrong. Like this.
If you're never more than, if you're never within 6 feet of any single individual, then you've controlled the virus.
We're asking the young people to help us with this mitigation strategy by staying out of the bars, staying out of the restaurants, really trying to distance yourself. Don't get the attitude, well, I'm young, I'm invulnerable.
Do you realize that social distancing was never grounded in science? Never. It was all made up.
The single costliest recommendation that CDC made, that you had to maintain 6 feet of distance, that wasn't based on good judgment and good science.
They were wrong about the vaccines stopping transmission, too.
Our data from the CDC today suggests, you know, that vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick.
Whoops, false. Most Americans thought the vaccine would stop you from getting COVID altogether. Well, of course, we know that was wrong. You also could transmit the virus if you had the vaccine. The CDC Director Walensky has been vaxxed and boosted, I think, a total of, what, 5 times? And she has COVID again. They were wrong to dismiss natural immunity as well. It turns out acquired immunity through previous infection does, in fact, provide durable immunity from future infection, and it certainly lessens your symptoms if you get it again. And do you remember what CNN's Dr. Sanjay Gupta and the rest of the medical cartel had Americans doing?
But we do know the virus can live on surfaces, for example, steel and plastic for up to 3 days. I've used a little glitter here for my kids to show you what the virus might be like. I'm just gonna clean all the virus off here. Don't need to do too much. It's a pretty sensitive virus. You don't need to use any kind of specific wipe either. Any household cleaner will do.
Okay, I forgot that one. A few weeks later, CNN had to explain that no, you don't actually need to wipe down your box of spaghetti or leave your Amazon packages in the garage. How embarrassing. But these people were drunk on their own power. Anthony Fauci even wanted to control your holiday plans.
If you get vaccinated and your family's vaccinated, you can feel good about enjoying a typical Thanksgiving, Christmas with your family and close friends.
You've got to be careful when you go into large public indoor spaces where there are a lot of people there, and that's the reason why you should be wearing a mask under those circumstances. I mean, obvious, the N95 is the best, but a regular surgical mask as well as a cloth mask is fine.
Wait a second. It's fine? Is he talking about those filthy masks hanging on everyone's rearview mirrors? The masks that they grabbed before they dashed into a store? Perhaps the worst part of all of this was the vicious campaign to smear and deplatform anyone who questioned their pronouncements, including world-renowned doctors and researchers. Remember the Great Barrington Declaration? From our top academic institutions, they even blacklisted people. These people have been threatened and excommunicated by medical associations and, of course, social media platforms. And despite how wrong the so-called experts were on a myriad issues, the retribution against dissident doctors continues to this day in the name of protecting public health and combating the spread of dangerous disinformation. How ironic, since they're the worst purveyors of it of all. Famed cardiologist and member of my medicine cabinet, Peter McCullough, could even lose his board certification for what he said over the last 2+ years. He told MedPage that he's appealing the recommendation by the American Board of Internal Medicine, and he's persecuted for stating the truth that the government was playing with math on the virus's true lethality. That was another issue of his. Well, now we see that he and others who spoke about the lethality of the virus were right. A new analysis of COVID deaths shows that early on, before vaccines were available, the infection fatality rate for people younger than the age of 70 was below 1%. And for those under the age of 19, it was 0.0003%. Now, given the analysis we just read, it's less lethal than the flu to a majority of the population. That is stunning.
COVID vaccines linked to plummeting fertility rate. German study finds an alarming study of the German, and he reveals, a strong association between the COVID-19 vaccine rollout and the sudden dramatic drop in fertility rates in Germany and Sweden and stillbirths. According to the German Federal Institute for Population Research, there is a strong association between the onset of vaccination programs and the fertility decline 9 months after. It says this is not connected to COVID and not connected to anything in the economy. It is the shot, they found, is the causal effect.
The Food and Drug Administration manufactured COVID-19 with the bat queen for the Wuhan BSL-4. And now on Thursday, apparently, they're going to give this emergency approval for these Franken shots that they say are going to protect us from the COVID-19 that the FDA helped develop. I mean, this is truly evil. This is an experimental vaccine subject to the Nuremberg Code on medical experimentation. The FDA thinks that they can opt out of it. Indeed, the last, and by the way, under the Nuremberg principles, you cannot plead your domestic legal order to excuse violations of Nuremberg.
Just crimes. Following orders, Professor, doesn't cut it.
Right. Or, well, I was just obeying the procedures of the FDA. Right. So this is these are Nuremberg crimes. And we've been through this before, Alex, in the run-up to Gulf War I. The FDA gave emergency authorization to experimental vaccines for biological warfare agents, not as dangerous as COVID-19, but anthrax and botulin.
That's a great point. You've been involved in a lot of those cases. They allowed experimentation on the troops. Hundreds of thousands got sick. Tens of thousands died conservatively. And you're saying this is part two. So the average American would say, shut up. That's a conspiracy theory. All-wheel drive doesn't exist. That's how dumb it is to say Bilderberg doesn't exist, Trilateral Commission doesn't exist, CFR doesn't exist, Davos Group doesn't exist, Great Reset doesn't exist, Agenda 2030 doesn't exist. These are all real things. Look, we are well past the point of being able to righteously use violence against these institutions and organizations. So for all of you out there that are mad at me because I'm saying let's not be violent, let's not be offensive, I understand your guts and your blood and your soul and your mind is burning with the desire to kill. I understand that. I want to stop these people just as much as you do.
Trump versus Clinton was the fight between the representatives of the two of the world's supranational power structures, the Rothschilds, behind Trump, against the Rockefellers, behind the Clinton. That said, neither the Rockefeller family nor the Rothschild family represent true power above them, you know, above the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds. We have the Astors, the Lodges, the Flemings, the Grosvenors, the Mathesons, the Keswicks, whose fortunes are measured and counted in trillions of dollars.
So basically, I believe that the government, or the really the power players behind the government, actuaried out a scenario of what would happen if Clinton got elected versus what would happen if Trump got elected. And they saw that it was actually to their benefit to withhold Hillary Clinton getting into office, which a lot of people thought was a given, and to allow Trump to take the presidency because of how balkanized and polarized he would be able to sway the political left into a total extremist position, often of socialism or communism, outright communism, which is what you're hearing people actually ask for in the United States because of Trump being the president. And they also saw how much support there would be for the United States swinging to that political left by other countries in the world, especially countries in the European Union. Okay, they actuaried all of that out, and that's why they allowed Trump to take the presidency, because they knew through his very brash demeanor, okay, that he was going to actually balkanize the political left, so when the pendulum swings back to the left in the next election, it's going to swing extremely hard in that direction. And you're already seeing, we're already seeing here in the United States the beginnings of that. I'm telling you, people here in this city and almost all the very populated centers where all of their social engineer, mind control universities are actually calling for outright socialism and communism in America.
You'll only be able to fight them in the third dimension on the street with graffiti. You'll only be able to fight them in the third dimension on the street with graffiti. To fight them 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 with graffiti. To fight.